Reverend Dr. Ohuneba Enyani Bodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Bodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Bodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word, which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr.
I'm going to speak on a subject that will encourage you that in this Christian walk, you are never alone. Say, I'm not alone. Hallelujah. I salute the elders, the deacons, ministers, church workers, shepherds, pastors, pastors' wives and husbands, prophets and prophetesses, Sunday school teachers, media men, my hard-working music ministers on the instruments, and everybody. God richly bless you. Amen. I'm speaking today on the glorious company. Say the glorious company. Say it one more time. As Christians, I want you to know today that in spite of what the devil may suggest to you, that you are alone, or you are on a path that only you are treading on, probably for the first time, is a big lie incubated from the incinerator of hell. You are not alone. The path you are walking on, others have walked on it before. So it serves as a kind of motivation that you are not alone. You cannot be wrong also. I would prefer to be wrong with people like Paul, Elijah, Moses, than to be wrong with people like, than to be right and all those people who've been doing whatever they want. You get what I'm saying? If you don't believe in our eternal faith, it is okay to err on the side of right, isn't it? Good. I would rather that I end up with Jesus, Moses, Paul, Elijah, Samson, Gideon, Peter, and see that it was a mistake. I want their company more. Papa Hagen, Bishop Doug, Enyani Bodum, Duncan Williams, Ajina Sari, Billy Graham. I will prefer that company. Gideon, Rahab, hallelujah, Haggai, Micah, Isaiah. I will want to be in that company. If we are all wrong, I want to join them in the wrong, those people, rather than join those people, those doing all their things. And no. There is a company that has gone ahead of us already. Glory to Jesus. And Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 39. These people ran the race of faith, and they achieved so much excellence. Samson, I think you've got to follow me today. He says that, I think we can go a little bit earlier. He says, what more? For time would not permit me to talk about Gideon, Samson's, and the Baraks. You have that verse? You have that verse? Then read it quickly. Quickly. I'm on
and
fire.
What shall I more say? Mm-hmm. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, mm-hmm. and of Barak, and mm-hmm. Samson, mm-hmm. and of Jeff.
What
Jeff
verse is that?
Verse 32.
Yeah. So he says, what shall I more say? New King James. What more shall I say? Time will not permit me to talk about all these great, these were generals of the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau is not part anyway. Hallelujah. Rahab, Gideon, he spoke about them. Daniel, then he said that I have not finished writing, but what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Okay, then go to 39. Then he said that, okay, yeah, I know this one. Just go to 39. So they subdued kingdoms and all that. Then he says, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Continue. Why? God, having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What is he saying? He says God has provided something better for the last bones, for the Ketri, for the Paul and Bantams, for those of us who are coming after these men. He said God has provided something better for us, that all these men, after they have obtained such a wonderful report, they could not obtain the promise because God did not permit them to be made perfect apart from us. What he's trying to say, you know, Paul said in Philippians, he said that I fought a good fight, I have finished my race. There is left for me now a crown of glory, which the Lord, the King of righteousness, will give to me. So like Paul, they also finished their race. And they qualified to be crowned with a crown of righteousness. But God is saying he held them on and did not give them their crown because he didn't want to graduate them without us. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I am so happy. And I'm so happy that you caught the revelation that Brother Moses, Brother Paul, Brother Joshua, Gideon, Samson, the one who tear the lions apart, he cannot be graduated without you going through the race of faith. You know what? God decided to put them in a stand. It's like a stadium, all right? He decided to put them in the stands to be your supporters, to cheer you on, to cheer you on. Oh, ye of little faith, this is the time to squash away your inferiority complex. Because do you know the people that surround you? Samson, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the elders, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They are surrounding you like in a football field. And they are there and they are looking at you. And they are saying, Sister Amma, you can make it. Sister Amma, you can make it. Remember, we are kept here and we are not graduated. We are waiting for you. As you run this race of faith, you can make it. And they are all of them, from Abel to the last. The Bible says that he did not give them the crown. He did not give them the promise, even though they obtained a good report. They cannot be made perfect without you. Woo! Hallelujah! You are so blessed. You don't need no man to lay hands on you and tell you are blessed. The Bible says you are so blessed that Samson, Abraham, Isaac, they are waiting for you to complete your race of faith so that you together with them can be crowned. Oh, I'm waiting for that day. I want to see Paul. Paul is one person I really want to see. We are surrounded. So verse number 12 said something. After this, he said, therefore, because God did not allow them to receive the crown, but to wait for us. Therefore, say therefore. Enunti, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the people from Abel to the last one, they are all in the stand, you know, in the football stand, in the stadium. They are all like the spectators. And we are the people now running the race of faith. He says, because they were not made perfect, they couldn't go. So they are waiting. Oh, Esther, Matthew, Mark, Paul, Jesus, all of them, they are surrounding you. Every day, not only today. And they look to you. And when you want to give up, they say, no, you can make it. I've been through this before. Push on, press on, you can make it. So the Bible actually said, because we are also surrounded by this innumerable company of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that ensnares us, and let us do what? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run it like they run it. let us run it to obtain a good report. Verse number 2. This is how we run the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know, the race is a race of faith. And the one that authored it for you is Jesus Christ. You didn't begin this race yourself. He initiated it on Calvary's cross for you. And he says that look to him. Jesus is the head of the glorious company. The company that are lying in wait, supporting you and cheering you. Jesus is the head. So he is the only man that is able to leave the stand and come down to where you are running the race. And he's standing at the finish line. And he's bidding you, come, come, you can make it, come. I know you can make it, come on, come on, come on. He is the head of the glorious company, hallelujah. And the Bible says, just keep looking unto him so that you can finish your race. He says in the verse number 3, he says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, okay, against himself. Otherwise, lest you become discouraged and you become weary. On this race of faith, if you fail to consider Jesus, if you fail to look to Jesus, you will get weary on the way. Things will wear you down. Things will tear you down. But what is the benefit? What is the benefit? We can run the race better than Samson ran it. We can run the race better than Isaac ran it. We can run that race better. Why? Because, number one, we have all of them supporting us, looking at us in the clouds or in the stands. Number three, we have Jesus gone ahead of us on the race and cheering us to come. Number four, he says that Jesus will complete. Do you know how Samson ended his race? It was deplorable. It was pathetic. He died prematurely. Do you know how Gideon ended his race? God never spoke to Gideon again after he spoke to him in the beginning. Do you know how Abraham and the others ended their race? We can end it better, isn't it? We can end it better. Hallelujah. You are never alone, dear believer. You are never alone. You are never alone. Genesis 34, verse number 7, he says that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. Hallelujah. Your deliverance is ensured. Your deliverance is assured. I beg your pardon. Your deliverance is assured because God has sent his angels to camp, to set camp around you. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 13 to 14. He says, and to which of the angels did he say, sit at my right hand and I'll make your enemies your footstool? No. Verse 14, he said, are these all not ministering spirits sent to minister to them who will be heirs of salvation? God has dispatched an angelic host to minister to your needs because you are an heir of salvation. Glory to God. The Bible says in the Gospels that after Satan had tempted Jesus Christ and he left, the angels came and ministered unto him. God has dispatched some set of angels who encamp around you, who minister to you, who are ready for your deliverance. I came here with an assurance for you. There is no power that can snatch you away from the hands of God, because the angel of the Lord encamps me. He has set his camp around you. He's surrounding you. I tell you, you are not alone. Whether you are walking at night, whether you are alone in a room, whether you are sitting in the darkness of your room because you don't have a generator, the Holy Ghost is there with you. The angel of the Lord is there with you. Glory to Jesus. The CCTV camera of God is on you 24/7. You are not alone. In Genesis chapter number 32, verse number 1, when Jacob was contemplating about how to meet Esau, the Bible says something miraculous happened in the life of Jacob. Verse number 1, he says, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Say, the angels of God. Verse 2, he says, when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the place Mahanaim. May you enter your Mahanaim. May your eyes see the place of your Mahanaim. May the camp of God become visible to you. The camp of God, may it be visible to you. Jacob was in distress. Jacob did not know what to go and tell his brother. Just at that point, the Bible says that he saw the angels of God. Hallelujah. Angels move with direction. They are not just senseless and go anywhere. God sent them. The Bible says that one day Abraham was sitting under the tree in his house and he saw God and two angels. Jacob was in distress and he saw the camp of God. May you enter the camp of God. Oh, I didn't hear your believing amen. Because this is the place where when you enter, every distress is removed. You know, when Esau saw him, Esau was even questioning why he was bringing him gifts, because he didn't know what had gone wrong. Because Jacob entered the presence of God, the camp of God, the Lord Jesus Christ removed everything from the mind of Esau. Concerning Jacob, the Bible says God said to Laban, when you meet him, do not speak with him good or evil. Hallelujah. Amen. I prophesy to you only by grace that today you will enter into the place Mahanaim. May you enter into your Mahanaim. May you enter into your Mahanaim. Psalm 91 verse number 9 to 16. Psalm number 91 verse number 9 to 16. Say, I am not alone. I need a good reading. Go on.
Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord God, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because your feet is always early to come into the presence of God. Because you are always trying to find the Mahanaim, the camp of God. He says, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling. I prophesy to you by grace that because you have made the Lord God, even the Most High, your dwelling place, you are free from any evil. You are free from any disease. You are free from any plague. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why are you free from it? He says he shall give his angels charge over you. God has set some angels that they can do nothing except to keep their eyes on you. You are not alone. Oh, lonely girl, you are not alone. The angels of God encamp around you. He says they shall keep guard over you. They shall lift you up so that you don't dash your feet against a stone. I prophesy to you this year that you will not stumble. You will not stumble. You will not stumble. Because the angels of God will lift you up. Because they will keep you in all your ways and not some of it. When you go to the market, they will keep you. When you are even on honeymoon, they will keep you. God's presence will always be with you. I remember the day after our wedding on our honeymoon, I was up at dawn praying. When my wife got up, he said, I saw you and a man talking. I said, but I was praying alone. He said, but there was a man standing before you and listening to the things you were saying. You are never alone. You don't need to see it, but you only need to believe it, because it is written in the word of God that he will give his angels charge over you. I remember many years ago, my father had a very bad satanic attack. He was getting out of the house and he saw in the spirit realm an arrow, a spear thrown towards him. And on the staircase, we saw was he had gone up and then he fell, okay, on the side. escaping the sword. And he told us that the angel of God lifted him like that, and then the arrows passed behind, below him, and then he just fell on the side. He said he will give his angels charge over you, that you shall not dash your feet against a stone. He says, because you have set your love on him, because you have set your affections on him, because you have set your attention on him and not on that boss of yours in the workplace, he says that he shall deliver you and he will satisfy you with long life. Hallelujah. I came here to prophesy a word to you that if the doctor has said it is impossible, scripture says with long life he will satisfy you. If they've given you a man to live, scripture says with long life he will satisfy you. If you've been dreaming about death and coughing, scripture said with long life I will satisfy you. If your medical condition is too strong and makes you query the power of God, scripture says with long life I will satisfy you. Whose report will you believe? Scripture says with long life I will satisfy you. Scripture says, God says, I wouldn't die young. No. With long life, I will satisfy you. Why? God is with you. Even in your bedroom, at Kotobabi Kokomlemle, in New York, Arkansas, in the Philippines, wherever you are listening to me, God is there with you. God is there. Genesis chapter number 28 from verse 10 onwards. It says the young man Jacob was running away from his home. He had left his comfort zone. Esau was trying to kill him because he stole his blessing. His father was annoyed at him because he had tricked him. His mother was pushing him on and said, go to your uncle Laban's house. The Bible says he got to a place, a certain place. Say a certain place. That place is where you dwell. That place is your dwelling place now. He got to that place and the sun had set down. It was evening, so he decided to take a stone to put his head on it. When he put his head on that stone and he slept, Bible says at night, God opened his eyes and he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a ladder which was set upon the earth where he was sleeping. Where your pillow is, where your bed is, that your 1.5 mattress size, that your student mattress, those of you lie on the floor self, where that your head is, where the earth is, he says he saw a ladder was at that place. I see a ladder in your bedroom. There was a ladder at that place, and then when he decided to trace the ladder, he said he saw that it went up into the heavens, the very throne of God, the glorious company. You are not alone. You are not alone. And as he began to wonder why he was seeing a ladder, all of a sudden he saw angels ascending and descending. And what were they doing? I'm going to tell you. Ascending and descending. And then when he looked up, at the top of it, he saw God. Not prophet 1, prophet 2, prophet 3. He saw God. Your God. My God. He saw him. Oh, what a glory that you will see him one day. Oh, what a glory that in your greatest distress, when the man thought he was forsaken, he was so broken, he was so lonely, and there was no hope coming, he saw God. Hallelujah. And what did God have to say? God had a word for him. God said, hey, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham. I am the Lord God of Isaac, your father. The land which you are lying on, I'm going to give it to you. In fact, I'm going to take you away from this place and I will still bring you back into this place. And I will not leave you, not until I have done everything I said I will do for you. God is never going to leave you. Not until every word of him, his in the Bible concerning you is accomplished. I don't know what kind of believers we are rearing these days, but I want the people who believe God's word for what it is. He says, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I don't care how you feel. It's not about how you feel. When we are in school and we want to study, sometimes you really don't feel like studying, but you still go and study anyway. So it doesn't matter how you feel, whether you are broken, dejected. He said, I will not leave you. So he's there with you. He's there with you. Where you put your head. Oh, how I pray that at the place you put your head, you will keep it in sanctity, because that is where the connection between you and the throne of God is. Where your head is. How I pray that you remove from that place every kind of spiritual insanitation and every insanity of the spirit that defies the holiness of God. Because at that place, that is where the ladder of God is, where you put your head. Let them put you in the boys' quarters. The ladder of God is there. Because he said, I will not leave you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, 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 he's with you in your bedroom, he's with you in your school, he's with you in your marriage, he's with you in your workplace, wherever the foes of your feet shall step, there God is. And he saw, and God spoke to him. So the question is, if God just wanted to talk to him, why did he show him a ladder? He just wanted to give him a message. When God wants to give you a message, does he show you a ladder? No. Why did he show him a ladder? Number one. Number two, why did he show him a ladder with angels ascending and descending? God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be, is Psalm 46 or 48, one of them, I think it's 46. He showed them a ladder because he wanted Jacob to know that the glorious company was with him wherever he went. Anywhere Jacob went, the reason for showing him that ladder is that the angels of God, the spirits of the men that have gone ahead, they ascend and descend right into your presence where you are. He was trying to tell him that he's not alone and that he's a God somewhere that just speaks to him. He was telling him that, look, there is a straight connection from the very place where you feel dejected to the very throne room of God. And look at the angels. They are even coming from my presence and entering into your presence. I am here to tell you, that place where you sleep, God's angels are there with you. That place where you lie, the Spirit of God is there with you. He could have just told him the message, but he made him see how he was not alone. The angels were with him. If Jacob moved a step here, the ladder will move. The angels will come. If he moved a step, the ladder will move. The angels will come. Wherever he stepped, the angels of God, they were, you see, he said they were ascending and descending. So was it just an exercise they were doing? No, I don't think angels are obese and they had to exercise to lose some weight. No, they did not just, those who ascended and descended, it wasn't like when I come down, then you go up. No, those who descended, they came and they stayed around him for a while. They stayed around him, they gathered him. Psalm 34, I said, the angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him and delivers them. So they were around him. Then when their time is up, they will go and another set will come. You are never alone, not even for a minute, not even for a second. Believe the word of the Lord, receive the word of the Lord, and it shall be done unto you. You are never alone. No witch can mention your name in some factory, in some shrine, and think it will work. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. They ascend and descend into your very presence. Oh, how I pray that you keep the spirituality of that presence potent, because you are not alone. He could have decided not to show him a ladder. There is a ladder right where you are sitting. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And when I looked up, I saw a gate opened in heaven. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now. It is recorded in this word. Hallelujah.
It is only
that you
badly
look and live.
Look and live.
It is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
God said to him, I will be with you wherever you go. But he showed him how he was with him. It wasn't only God that was with him. That would have even been enough, isn't it? But there was a glorious company. There was an entire army. They were ascending and descending in his very presence. Hey, your presence is there with you. Then when Jacob woke up in the morning, I think go to some of verse 18, 19. That's it. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. The Lord is in your very bedroom where you cry and wail at night, and you still don't know. The Lord is with you right now, and you still do not know. Then he got up. I want the verse number. No, go to 19. He said, he said, this is none other but the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven is found in your very presence. The gate of heaven. Do you believe your God? Do you believe the word of the Lord? Okay. Today's the last day I see you in depression. Because you are never alone. And don't travel 2 hours to a certain village to go and see a man of God who can usher you into the presence of God. Because the gate of heaven is where your head is. Then he arose in the morning, took a stone, the one he put his head on, poured oil on top of it, and then he called the name of the place Bethel. But the place was called Luz. I came here with a prophecy bubbling in my lips that as you encounter the presence of God, the name of your dwelling place is about to change to Bethel. The house of God. Your home shall be the house of God. Your workplace shall be the house of God. Wherever you find yourself, that place shall become Bethel. The house of God. May it be done unto you in the name of Jesus. Let there be a metamorphosis in the dwelling place. It was called Luz, but today it is changed. Whatever name they gave to your place, they call it Nima, they call it Kanda, they call it Lodiba, they call it, oh, these people don't mind them. Wherever, Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever it is, because you are there, you. I've said it here many, many times, how your workplace, your CEO, if he knew that it was because of you that the presence of God was upon that job, he would be careful whom to set aside. As long as you live, you are the light of this world. As long as you live. It's high time we embrace the higher life, the kingdom of God. He said the name is changing. May your dwelling place change. May it change unto the house of God. Glory to Jesus. You are never alone. Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 11 or 13 downwards. He says when they were getting to Jericho, before they got to Jericho, the manna they were eating ceased. At that point, anybody could have thought that something is about to happen to us. And then, Jericho was a fortified city, and no one could enter or leave because the gates were shut. And because of the people of Israel, because they were coming, Joshua was ready for battle. When he lifted up his eyes, he saw a man who was standing at the opposite side, and he had a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said that, sir, are you for us? Or I should be afraid of you that you are against us. He said something to him. I said, you are not alone. I came here to encourage you that this Christian walk, you are not the first person walking on it. They are men of glorious stature, men and women who have walked this path. They received miracles. They shut the mouth of lions. They subdued kingdoms. And God still said that you cannot be made perfect without Faustine, without Abraham, without Yah, without Ethel, without Mike, without Millicent, without Gifty. You cannot be made perfect without these people. They also will complete and come and join you. You are not alone. Then he said to him, no, I'm not for your enemies. But as commander of the Lord's army, There is an army. There is an army. And there is the commander. The commander is the head of the glorious company. He is the one that can get on the tracks where you are. I said it in the beginning. He is the only one who can get out from the stand and stand on the track where you are and fight with you and utter your race and finish it with you. He got down to Joshua. He got into his very presence. Samson could not come. Daniel could not come. Moses could not come. But Jesus could go. He said, as commander of the Lord's army, have I come. He said, what should I do? He said, remove your sandals, because where you stand is holy. And he bowed down and he worshiped him. Angels do not take worship. The spirits of just men do not take worship. This was Jesus that appeared to him. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I don't know what Jericho stands before you, but between Jericho and you is the commander of the Lord's army. I don't know what huge thing stands before you, but between that thing and you is nobody else but the commander of the Lord's army. They said it's impossible. He's standing there. Jericho could not fall, not even by 10,000 soldiers, but by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, I came here to encourage you. To encourage you. What great mountain stands before you like Jericho? The Bible says, oh, what art thou, oh, great mountain before Zerubbabel? For you shall become a plain. Jericho fell by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. Today, receive that word from the commander of the Lord's army. No matter what you are going through, no matter what besets you, no matter what has become a huge wall before you, between the wall and you is the commander of the glorious company. 2 Kings chapter number 6, the Bible says, verse 18 downwards, just search for it. It says the king of Syria wanted to come and kill Elisha. He sent for an army, 10,000 soldiers, plus they were all sitting on horses, and they went and surrounded the city where Elisha was. When you look at it from, okay, that's good, from verse 8 you can find. They surrounded the city, not even the house. They surrounded the entire city, like Accra. If Elisha was here in Circle, they surrounded the entire Circle, the entire Accra. Over 100,000 soldiers on horses. Then the servant of Elisha, you should follow me now. The servant of Elisha who wakes up early in the morning, God, may God give us good associates who wake up before us and pray, hallelujah, and to look around to see if everything is clear, hallelujah. He said the servant of Elisha, he got up early in the morning and he went out. When he went out, he saw that the entire city was surrounded by horses, hallelujah. And he ran to his master and said, master, get up, we are in trouble. Master, our ministry has ended. They are going to kill us. The master said, let me sleep. Let me sleep a little bit. He said, you don't understand. It's not one soldier. It's not two. Oh, because he has set his love on him, I will deliver him. Because he has set his attention, his affection on him, I will deliver him. Oh, glory. He shall give his angels charge over you. They shall lift you up so that you don't have any accident on the way. Elisha said, stop bothering me. He said, why, master? Come and see. And he said, do you know what? They that be for us, they that be with us, they are greater in number and in strength than they that are against us. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, it says, be of good cheer, little children, because you have overcome him. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Any company that fights you, greater is he that is in you than he that is against you. He said, those that are with us are greater. He said, what are you talking about, master? We are only two in this place. How are you saying, oh, I say you are not alone. You are not alone. Right now in this church room, you are not alone. Right now in this place, if God will open your eyes to see, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Then Elisha prayed and said to him, God, open his eyes and let him see. And the Bible says when God opened his eyes, Not just around them, not just around the city, but the entire mountains that surrounded Israel. They had chariots. They had horsemen. Horsemen. I say, there is an army rising, you know. There is an army rising up. There is an army
rising up
to break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
I am not alone, Billy. Say you are never alone.
To break every chain.
I believe.
To break every chain. To break every chain.
There's an army.
There's an army rising up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an army.
There's an army behind you.
There's an army rising up.
And what would they do?
To break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
Yeah.
Oh, to break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
Let me end my exegesis. I forgot one scripture. It's somewhere in 2 Samuel. He said that, and David said to the Lord, should I go and pursue after the Philistine? God said, no, wait under the mulberry trees, for you will hear the sound of a marching on top of the trees. When you hear the sound of the marching, then go. Hey, do horses march on trees? Do human horses march on trees? He said, you will hear. Look for that scripture. Look for it. You will hear the sound of a marching on top of the mulberry trees. There is an army. I encourage you. I don't know what Jericho is before you, but you are not alone. You are not alone. Between that Jericho and your success is the commander of the army. And have you ever seen a commander walk alone? A commander of army walk alone. The army that stood by Jericho. That caused the, you think singing around the wall will let a wall break? No. That day that Jesus appeared, he wasn't alone. He came with a glorious army, but he decided to reveal himself only to Joshua. And Joshua was confused. He thought the man was alone. He said, circle around Jericho 7 days and the wall will break. Why did the wall break? The army of God, they started breaking Jericho down when Jesus Christ came there. They broke it. Hey, I can preach this. I can preach. He says that a time there was a battle with Israel. He says the stars fought in their cause against Zerah. God used angels to fight against the enemies of Israel. The stars. Revelation says when they were chasing that woman, he said the earth helped her and opened the mouth and swallowed the flood. There is an army. He said to David, he said, oh, that's the 2 Samuel 5:24. He said, and it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of. How do you hear the sound of marching horse hoofs on top of trees? There's an army. When Elisha prayed, the man saw. And then when he saw the horses, then the Bible says, round about Elisha, he saw chariots of fire, fire, fire. Chariots of fire. Around you. Around you. There are multiple chariots of fire. Around you. I'm losing my voice, Jacob. There are multiple chariots of fire. Around you. He saw. Oh, I'm on the chariots of fire now. 2 Kings 6. He said he saw the horses in the mountains. And then chariots of fire around Elisha. There's an army rising. Let me sing another song. Onye Jesu, Jain Komo, Wajinkwa Christ. The commander. Obediama. Onye offended God by your unbelief. There is an army around you. There are chariots of fire. He said, and he saw horses surrounding the mountain. Move to the verse, next verse. And then chariots of fire around about Elisha. Let me go back to my main text and then close. Hebrews chapter 12. I think it's verse 18, eh? Verse 18. Hebrews 12, 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and the tempest. In the Old Testament, when God was descending in their midst in Mount Sinai, when he wanted to give Moses the tablets, not the iPad tablet, but the tablets of the commandments, the mountain burned with fire. It burned with smoke. It became black. He says, and you have not come to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which when they heard it, they begged that they would not hear those words anymore. Because insomuch that even when a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or shot by an arrow to death. He said, you have not come there. The Mahanayim of today is not at a place where it's tangible for you to see, but it exists. The mountain of God today is not at a place for you to go and touch it. He said, you have not come to a mountain that may be touched. Go to the, I think, 20. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion. 21. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. To an innumerable company of angels. You have not come to a mountain that may be touched, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. The living God. The living God. When Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked at the top of the ladder, he saw the living God standing there. You have come to Mount Zion. Where are the people from Zion? You have come to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Go on, go on. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You have not come to a mountain that may be touched with hands. You have come to Mount Zion. You are not going to come. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, glory to God. To an innumerable company of angels. An innumerable company of angels. I see angels in the room already. I see them around you. I don't need any vision. The Bible says they surround you already. The Bible says they encamp you. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to an innumerable company of angels. You have come to the heavenly city. You have come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. You have come, yea, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament. You have come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Oh, you are not alone. Oh, you are not alone. Oh, you are not alone. Begin to thank him that you are never alone. Mahanayim is the place of your dwelling. You have entered Bethel, the house of God, the city of God. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Begin to pray and thank him.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.